Well, here we go. We have officially started. We are back with another episode of the Lead Up Podcast, where we get to connect with dope and diverse leaders to learn more about their leadership journey, and so you can level up your leadership. And today I got a good friend, but before we get to my friend and guest, I want to give a special shout out again, as always, to Darling New Media. Shout out to Nate behind the camera and all the production, doing always great work. Make sure to check out Darling New Media in Midtown. If you need any podcast or media services, they got you. And thank you to all the listeners, for those that are returning. Thank you all for the love and support. I've been getting a lot of great feedback. Wish I could be in the studio, but healing up a injury at the moment. So this is what we can do, but we can still make it happen, bring out some great content and guests. And for those that are listening for the first time, thank you for checking this out. I hope this is valuable content. And let me just get right into it, because I got a special guest, as I mentioned earlier. I have my good friend, Mr. Brandon Cheatin, for episode 36. What's going on, sir?
What's up, brother? How you been?
I'm great, man. You know, besides this injury recovery, you know, I'm feeling good. How are you?
I can't help but feel partially responsible for that injury. We discussed why this is. I introduced you to the gym that you got
injured
at.
That's right. Yes.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'll bring you some.
For those that don't know, because I've only told a few people, I unfortunately ruptured my Achilles about a month ago. So I'm currently in recovery mode, got a cast on, getting it off tomorrow, but we'll be in a boot for the next 5-6 months. So no kicking anytime soon, but little by little, walking, you know, jogging, running, hopefully in the next few months. So until then, We're gonna stick with the podcast, but man, can you give us a little kind of background? Who is Brandon? Who is Brandon Cheatin? Give us a little backstory of kind of your journey, man. What's your story?
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity again. Brandon Cheatin. Let's simplify it. I'm a servant, a husband, a father, all around family man. But just a little bit about me. Raised here in Sacramento. Went to a whole bunch of different schools out here, 4 or 5 high schools in my 4 years. So from all over Sacramento. So if you went to any type of school out here, most likely kind of ran into you. Like I said, been married 15 years in the summer. Got 3 amazing daughters. It'll be 15, 9, and 6 months. So we got a COVID edition as well. But no, God has blessed us tremendously. A little bit more about myself. Again, grew up here in Sacramento. Me and my wife both graduated from Sac State. She went on to get her master's, right? Stinkers up. She went on to get her master's or bachelor's in kinesiology or master's in physical therapy. My bachelor's is in public relations. I am a union consultant, a labor consultant here in Sacramento. And I've been doing that for about 5 years. Graduated from college late in 2016. I was in the workforce, and obviously we had my first daughter early. I was 19. She was 20. My wife was 20. So that, provided the opportunity for me to go to work early. Mm-hmm. And we kind of did the slingshot method where I'm working, wife was in school. And so then she finished up and got on with her career. And so I wasn't able to go back to school, but yeah, living here in Sacramento, we live currently in North Natomas right now. So that's just a quick summary, like I said, is about me and kind of who we are.
Yeah. And one of the main reasons, besides, you know, Brandon being just a dope individual, we've had a friendship now the last couple of years through church, and, you know, even him coming out to some work events, you know, talking to my guys and through finance, and you're going to learn quickly about the gems here in terms of being debt free and finances and stuff like that. And that's how we really got connected in terms of understanding what does it mean to be debt free, right? You kind of mentioned this, you gave me this book, or you had told me about this book a while ago. And mm-hmm. I think a part of your journey, as you're sharing about your family and your kids, you know, that's a big core of, like, you know, this journey that you were on with your wife and your daughters. And I'm curious if you can just give a little more insight into this debt-free journey that that you were on and that you are currently on. Just share a little bit about that.
Yeah. And I'll back up to 2014 because we got married in 2007. And for probably the first 7 years of our marriage, again, we had my first daughter in 2007, my second in 2013. And we struggled. We were poor. I think the first 5-6 years we were on government assistance, you know, food stamps, cash aid. I remember when food stamps still came in big checks. then they moved over to the debit cards to make it a little more discreet. But we didn't have any shame. You know, that's just where we were.
Yeah.
Young, trying to get an education, trying to enter the workforce. Not a lot of financial wisdom at the time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until it was one of our financial low moments, financially low moments. We got a letter after my wife graduated with her bachelor's. We got a letter from her student loan. I think it was Sallie Mae at the time. And they say, congratulations, you know, you got your new job, whatever the case is. And you're going to, it says you, oh, like, here's your new student loan payment, because now that you graduated. And that student loan payment was, I think it was like $1,000 a month. And we had just had our second daughter, and our rent was $895. And so we were sitting at the kitchen table and just kind of melted, kind of melted together. But that, again, we didn't do anything wrong. We weren't necessarily just running up credit card debt or anything like that, but it was just, even in the pursuit of education, life kind of throws stuff at you. And at that point, we had to make a choice not to be stagnant, and to kind of get on the offensive. Okay, what are we going to do? What's our what's a plan? Have a financial plan? Can we? And so my wife, brother actually told her about some podcasts, some financial podcasts, and she sent it to me. And I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not really into the podcast thing. Turns out it was one of the most pivotal things in our financial journey. It was Dave Ramsey podcast, actually. And it just got us thinking about finances, getting a plan together, living on. And again, we were already, we had no choice but to live on less than we made. We didn't, we didn't hardly make anything, but it gave us a financial plan. And then we saw debt as an enemy instead of being comfortable with it. Even student loans, like I said, we didn't really have any credit card debt, but this, we saw that we felt under attack by student loans at, after we got that letter, you know what I'm saying? So we had to formulate some type of plan. And so we were trying to buy a house, all of that, all that same time.
Yeah.
Again, we didn't make a lot of money. But again, too, back in, it seems like forever ago, back in 2014, the market here in California was still kind of favorable. So we got on a budget. We got rid of our iPhones. We pinched every nickel we had. And got a FHA loan, a first-time home buyer loan. And were able to buy something that was within our budget because we could afford about $1,000 a month total. And I think our first mortgage was like $1,100. And Otto, you've been to the first house. So you know where it was at. Again, that was in the hood. If anybody's familiar with Sacramento, Power Inn and Fruit Ridge, you know, we was off of 37th in the flats, you know, but, and it was a proud moment. We were like, oh my, we were so happy to be in that place.
Yeah,
we had got denied all over hoods in Sacramento, and we couldn't afford Oak Park, G Parkway. It was so when we got here, we were so happy, and it looked like at least our lot looked like suburbs, and then, you know, you see the everything else around us. But
and Brandon, we used that, let's talk about the numbers, man, because that's where I think the you know where they really can. Be like, okay, what are we working with? What are we talking about? Like, what, how much debt were you guys in? Because even how you got rid of it so quickly, or at least attacked it, as at least kind of like the language that you would say, what were the numbers you were working with, and what was kind of the actions that came to attack that those numbers and get it down to zero?
Absolutely, absolutely. So total debt, this is car payments, student loans, medical, everything outside of the house, we had about $165,000, almost $170,000 worth of debt. I think it was $90,000 of student loans, and probably about 30 cars and a, you know, a bunch of miscellaneous things as well. But student loans was almost $100,000 of the bulk of it. And so we got on a plan. We started using the debt snowball method, mm-hmm. paying off the smallest, your debt smallest to largest. What it did was it actually, because again, attacking this as a married couple, it made us join our bank accounts together for the first time. I think we had did it and we had a bad experience and then we separated them again. But this got everything in alignment. And so now it's us against the debt as opposed to my bills and your bills. And so it really unified us in our approach. Something else we did, because again, to keep the girls on board, it was like, hey, we're about to go on this huge debt journey. Yeah. We were kind of forecasting it's going to take us about 2 or 3 years to get out. It's this big climb. And so we're going to be making a lot of sacrifices. There's going to be a lot of no's. We're not going to be eating out. We're not going to be taking vacations. We're not going to be doing a lot of these things. So in order to kind of sell it to the kids, we got two jars and we filled one jar up with 160 marbles. And each marble represented $1,000 worth of debt, whatever our total number was, 160, 165, whatever it was. And we had one marble that was labeled Debtland. And then we had an empty jar that labeled Disneyland. And we said, told our kids, hey, every time we pay off $1,000 of debt, we're going to move one of these marbles from the Debtland jar to the Disneyland jar. Yeah. And that way, once every marble from Debtland is in Disneyland, we will take you to Disneyland. And please believe every day those two girls asked, are we moving any marbles today? Did you guys pay anything up on the debt today? Why aren't we moving any marbles? What are you doing? So that was some of the best accountability that we had.
Right.
And it kept us focused. The girls were like, hey, and sometimes we got to move two marbles, you know, but that encouraged us to, again, we told our, started telling our money where to go instead of wondering where it went. We were on a written budget. Again, we were just laser focused. And all the while, we were in the middle of a house flip. We bought that house and it was a fixer. We got it. So we went in there and gutted it, did floors, vanities, appliances, everything except for a new roof. And we ended up living in that space after we flipped it for about 3 years. But during that time, we had a lot of breakthroughs. My wife ended up getting a promotion during that time that almost doubled her salary. I graduated from Sac State and started and took a job and got a started my career. So all this time it was just increasing our income, but we were not increasing our expenses. And I think that's one of the biggest things with personal finance is living below your means. You have to tell yourself how much money you need on a month-to-month basis to cover your four walls and your kids, you know, your food, your housing, your electricity, your clothing, and cap it. And that way, when you get the bonuses, the promotions and the increases, we were just throwing that to the debt. We didn't even see that. We didn't even touch it. And so since we started this journey, before I even started working, when I got hired on, my whole salary, we were used to living off of one income at the time. And so once we got my whole salary, like, well, great. Now we got an extra lump sum to kind of throw at that. And so we were going beans and rice and beans, diesel intense, hardcore. And it took us 16 months actually to pay off the entire $165,000
debt. For over $170,000 in debt,
correct? Correct. And so on paper, it looks like we were paying off $10K every month. But the, we had a bunch of different circumstances kind of happen. And I think what I think happened is God saw us be faithful in this commitment. And he really started working, because so much of that was, we had $50K that was actually forgiven. We were kind of challenging existing things that we had. And, you know, after writing letters and getting denied and appealing it, that $50K, you know, was forgiven. So that was counted in there. I ended up selling. We had a whole bunch of different vehicles. I sold probably three different cars during that time. And I was just shoveling big. So those big lump sums made a big difference.
For sure.
And then we were snowballing the rest. And then, 16 months later, we got out of debt. We ended up submitting our debt-free story to Dave Ramsey, Mm-hmm. And
that's right.
So we flew out there and did our debt-free screen with the family. And Nada was one of our folks in our corner that day was streaming that as well. But that was good. And we went to Disneyland twice that year for the girls.
I remember that.
They were, and it's like burned in their memory now.
Yeah.
Our parents kind of did this thing to sacrifice. And now that was, we got out of debt probably 2017, 2018. That was 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been debt free ever since. We ended up selling that house.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you guys know where this house is, it was terrible. The area was terrible. And in that 3 years, we lived there 3.5 years. We bought it, that house, for $165K and we sold it for $270.
Mm.
So we made over $100K profit in that 3 years on that house. And we were able to mm-hmm. use that as our new down payment to the home we currently live in now that we bought in 2019. And so it's just been a kind of a blessing ever since then. But that was just the start. Dave Ramsey's his kind of baby step program, there's 7 baby steps.
Yeah,
and get out of debt is baby step 2, you know? And so it was so interesting to say, man, like, okay, and that felt like a huge boulder lift off your shoulder. We had never been debt free in our mm-hmm. ever since we were kids. Since we came into adulthood, we always had some type of financial obligation on us. So to start that financial freedom journey
mm-hmm.
Was telling. I lost my dad during that time in 2016 as well.
Yeah.
And it was just such a, it like stamps and it builds my why, our why,
yeah.
as to why we would never kind of fall into certain financial habits.
Yeah.
And I think it's just one of the best things that ever happened for us. There was a lot of spillover in our marriage as well. Like
mm-hmm.
as we were doing this, our communication got better. Our collaborative teamwork got better. Mm-hmm. My wife got to see me do some things that she didn't know I was capable of, and vice versa. I got to see her do some things that I didn't think she had in her arsenal. And so it's like, wow, I didn't know you were that passionate, or you kind of had that in your, in your arsenal. So it was just super good. It was really eye opening to see what we were able to do collaboratively.
Yeah.
Working on the same team. And I think it paid dividends moving forward.
Yeah. You know, this is really good because, you know, a lot of the either students, peers, people that I look up to, different circles, even, you know, content that we kind of engage in, finances, it's mainly the kind of either the biggest kind of draw of, you know, how to, you know, whether it's starting a business or how to kind of mm-hmm. create a new stream of income. So people are always, you know, some ways talking about money, right? Whether you're mm-hmm. trying to, you know, cut up some debt or trying to invest, right? And I think that's more and more. Some of it is, unfortunately, you know, very scammish, right? And it's very in our faces of like kind of quick cash, quick money schemes.
Right.
But finances is important, right? We all know that to a certain degree. Some of us, you know, as I have mentioned many times, as Brandon, I think it was years ago, very early on when we first met, he would tell me about the Dave Ramsey and the debt-free snowball. And I'm like, yeah, I hear you, man. But I never took it seriously until I saw really his new home, because I remember the first home and how it leveled up to a home, right? Just the community and where he lived, but just seeing the faces of not only his daughters, but, you know, his wife, and just kind of that environment, and seeing the possibility, it encouraged me and motivated to start my own journey. And since I was, you know, it's one of those things, you make a decision to do it and you're consistent throughout, right?
Yes.
And I guess kind of tying it back to what did you learn about, you know, you kind of mentioned it a little bit between, you know, about yourself and your wife, but what was so important about the journey for you? What changed about yourself, whether it was, because, you know, as you mentioned, you got debt free, but there's still steps after that you're still on, mm-hmm. right? So I'm curious to hear a little bit more about, you know, your own kind of learnings and things that you, as you look back, mm-hmm. and what are you kind of pursuing now in your next step of the journey?
Yeah, great question. One thing that I heard, because you're right, as far as finances goes, my wife is like, she can sniff out scammy, and she is allergic to it and she hates it.
Yeah.
Because I used to be in sales back in the day, and you know, working on commission and giving my family that type of anxiety on what my paycheck looks like. And so anything that kind of smelled like that, like I said, that's why I went back to school. I wanted to get me a salary, get something a little more stable. Mm-hmm. And the thing that attracted us to Dave was it was so practical. And I remember one of the most revolutionary things that he said, you know, you get a lot of financial advice on the internet. And he said something I never heard anyone say before. And it was your most powerful wealth building tool you have is your income. I always was under the assumption that I had to make a business. I had to get my entrepreneur hat on and go grind and go kill it to go basically dig myself out of this type of a hole.
Yeah.
And the written budget and the, again, the agreement of what we want to spend, again, telling our money where to go instead of wondering where it went, and planning these things out at the beginning of the month, beginning of the pay period was so vital. And it showed us, again, we still had, you know, lower middle class incomes, but based on our what we needed, it was more than enough. I was like, this is plenty of money. I remember us saying, again, when we had two kids at the time, if we just make $60,000, we can, all of our needs are met as a family of four at the time. And so anything we made over 60K, we just didn't touch it. That was our livable cap to pay our mortgage, to pay everything we need to eat. That was the number. And so many years later, after my wife, again, got her promotion, she's way over that mark, and then throw my salary on top of it. And we were just, it wasn't until I think a couple of years after we got out of debt that we started to actually kind of live in some of that cushion just for a little bit, because we wanted to say, okay, you know, we wanted to see what it felt like.
Yeah.
But then we immediately kind of went on to the next thing. So after buying that home, like, okay, we got girls, we need college funds. So we set up college funds. Hey, how's our life insurance looking? All these kind of different things. Hey, are we investing in our 401ks? How much? You know, so all it, because there's an order of operations. And so the other thing that happened was keeping first things first. This is the thing we're focusing on right now. And so when that, because again, I always tell people, as far as debt is concerned, it's like, if you have a big sums of debt and you're trying to save money, it's like saving money and putting that money in a bag with holes in it. If you repair the hole first, your bag can fill up a lot faster. And so that was our method, our methodology. Hey, let's fix this bag, make sure there's no holes in it. Now, as we keep putting this extra income in, we get to see it.
Right.
And so again, having an emergency fund, having all these things in place, just made it crystal clear to us, okay, this is kind of the way, this is the path. And so then baby step two is get out of, again, pay off all your debt. I think 2, 3, and 4 you do simultaneously. I'm sorry, 3, 4, 5 you do simultaneously. It was if you're like save up for a house, if you're trying to buy a house, if you have kids, start your kids' college fund and start investing in your 401k.
Right.
Or your 403b, IRA, whatever you have it with your employer. And so we did all those things, and we're currently doing all those things right now. Baby step six is pay off your home. And so that's the step that we are focusing on right now. Our girls are giving up our college funds in place. We actually refinanced our house a couple, now it's 2 years ago now. When the pandemic hit, rates dropped. And so when I bought that, we bought the house that we live in right now in Natomas. We bought that house in 2019 for $449,000. And we got a, I think a 4.25 interest rate when we bought it. And then a couple of years happened, pandemic happened, rates went down, they went down, and we were watching them. And I said, okay, this is going to be the time. So we refinanced from a 30-year to a 15-year fixed.
Wow.
And we refinanced to a 2% interest rate during that time.
Yeah.
So now our house will be paid off in the next 10 years.
Wow.
That's the goal. It's on a 15-year fix, but we still pay extra on it anyway. Because, my goal is to have that done before my middle child is through with high school. Yeah. So Jada will already be done. But by the time Taylor gets in high school, I'm trying to have that done.
Yeah.
And that's... This is kind of one thing that's, and it's on autopilot now. And then baby step seven is live and give like no one else. And thank God during this time of just kind of financial freedom, one thing that we implemented this year a little different than our normal tithes and offering is we just want to be like random givers and just, hey, see a need, like, hey, this month, do you mind if we kind of shovel it this way? And hey, this person's really, and just, you know, so we have a big community and we just want to help folks. We want to be a part of, people are doing amazing things. You got a podcast. We got so many friends that are, again, entrepreneurs and business women and businessmen, and we want to support that. And so that's like a, almost like a fringe benefit of being able to have all this discretionary income. You can do what you want to do. And again, we still have our obligations and things like that. But yeah, so next as far as our development, again, is, again, getting that mortgage paid off, man. We want to live in this debt-free house for a little bit, but also thinking about how our careers will mature and how we, you know, what we want to do after that as well. So yeah, I think that's pretty important to us.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I feel like as you were talking, I'm hearing like some people will be thinking, well, I don't have kids. I don't have a home yet. You know, I'm still in school or finishing up school. Like how would this, like, where should I start? How do I start? Or do I, you know, maybe, you know, some would say, oh, I can just wait until I have kids or have a home.
Right.
But I know, you probably heard this from some people in terms of like being in school. It's like, you know, where do they start? What's the best way for them to kind of really attack this and kind of put them in the best position? Because again, when it comes to finances, especially, I mean, we've seen it in during this time, right? People are, when it comes to the workforce and things that gas, right? And so there's windows of time that are changing that kind of impacts, you know, how people live. And I think it's important, whether they're in school, out of school, trying to pursue their career or a new job, or just think about how it benefits them financially. You know, how can they set themselves up for the, you know, for success?
Absolutely. And I would tell them to follow that Renato path, as Renato came to me in that exact position. And this is why I think our, you know, your community is very important. And I remember sitting on the couch at the old house and we were like, hey, Renato, how much debt you got? Like, let's look over everything. And I remember you told us your debt number, and me and Ren looked at each other. We were like, man, what it is to be single with no kids. It was great. But at the same time, it was still a challenge for you. And you had your time, because again, it's, if I don't have her keeping me accountable, sometimes that might lessen or increase the time that I'm actually on my path. And so that first thing was that budget that was important. So like, I think you kind of already had something in place, but saying, hey, what's the next thing that you want to do? So sitting down with these people saying, what do you want to accomplish? Like, what's your goal? Because honestly, I forget what study this was from, but the average, you know, folks coming out of high school, graduating college, it used to be you want to buy your house, you want your career, and you want your kids. But now the average younger millennial, they don't want to get married and they don't want to buy a house. These house prices are crazy. Yeah. And marriage isn't necessarily on my thing. I'm trying to do me. So they just want the career. Yeah. And they want it. So it allows them to kind of be a little bit more laser focused. But the priorities as far as what they might want kind of have to be tailored to what the outcome is they're looking for.
Yeah.
So you're right. Like I said, and I got some single friends that are like, no, I still want to save up for my wedding day, you know, so they might be doing something like that.
Yeah.
But I would say try out that path of that financial freedom. So we might start with, again, student loans, cars, credit cards, just some basic personal finance things, because at the end of the day, you still have to be in control of your personal finances. Yeah. You still have to provide a roof over your head. You still want to have 3 to 6 months of expenses as an emergency fund. That way, because again, the pandemic kind of showed, like when everything went out in the beginning, before we started getting all these stimulus checks, everyone kind of got caught skinny dipping. It was like, oh man, the tide's out. And so, and so everyone was kind of worried and kind of see what was happening. But during that, like you said, there is windows of time of when you can be more aggressive. Cause I remember talking to you after you got your bachelor's and you were working on your snowball, and then you got into your master's program and you were like, I'm going to pay for this and I'm going to snowball this as I'm going. Yeah. I was like, what? Like, you're going to, and you had your master's paid off before you even graduated.
Right.
And that only happened because of again, the laser focus and the plan that you had set out before you, mm-hmm. you're the only person I ever met and probably will meet that was like, no, I got it. And yeah. I was like literally working through it, that didn't necessarily just have somebody just grace you and say, oh, you know, here's 30K, here's 40K, but
right.
actually trudge through that. You have to see it. And again, yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, expectation is expanded through exposure. That's not my quote.
Oh, but run it back.
Expectation is expanded through exposure. So I was able to expose you to, hey, this debt-free thing is kind of possible. I don't have to be in debt while I'm in school now. Again, I don't have all these family necessarily obligations. So let me direct it towards here. And that's exactly what you did. So a lot of folks can do that. When I talk to my cousins that are younger than me, and they don't, again, have family or they're not mm-hmm. trying to save for a house right now. It's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, stay where you are. Just clear this stuff out the way. That right. way, when it comes to you trying to buy a house, the first thing they're going to look at is your DTI, your debt to income ratio. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the debt, guess who's going to be approved for the loan, you know? And so right. You just make yourself a lot stronger candidate, whether it's for your business loan, a home loan, or whatever the case is, even though we don't want to be borrowing out too much money, you know what I'm saying? But those two things, you know, especially for a home, you know, you're going to have some type of down payment or whatever the case is. And so it's like, if that's your goal, let's mark yeah. it out. Let's see what you want to do. You know, yeah. I remember after talking to some of the IYT folks, I remember meeting Keelan mm-hmm. And he came to the house and kind of had that same thing. He's like, hey, I'm not married, no kids. What do I do? Like, I got a decent credit score. I got a little bit of money saved up. And we kind of went through his stuff, went through his, you know, pulled up his little Credit Karma. And I was like, well, you can buy a house. He was like, right now? I was like, yeah. Again, houses were still favorable.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, I'm not ready to do that. Like, I was like, you need to do what? You got 3 years of W-2s right here. This is your income. You got 3 years of work history.
Right.
I guarantee you can get qualified for this level of home. Mm-hmm. And as long as if you can afford this, you can afford that mortgage. And he went away like, are you just like kind of mind blown? And right. then soon after that, he closed on his first house.
Yep.
You know, so sometimes we think there's so many steps that we need to do or this, and that. But we kind of just look at your expenses and your income, just yeah. like a basic balance sheet. And we see where you are, see where you want to go. And then we chart that path.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a lot more straightforward than people give themselves credit for. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, some people, we got a lot of work to do. We need to either increase their income or decrease their expenses or do a little bit of both. But it's very doable.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned that the exposure quote, because I'm thinking of two things. One is in that first meeting, I did feel exposed looking at kind of like all the things that I had to list out, like every single thing that mm-hmm. either had a payment or bill. It was very kind of mm-hmm. like the first time that I allowed other people yeah. see, you know, what was going on. And they would ask me questions like, is this something you can get, is this something you can live without, right? Is this, mm-hmm. you know, and like going mm-hmm. through that step by step, item by item was yeah. A little scary because it's like,
right.
is this the one thing or a couple things that are going to get in your way or slow you down to like mm-hmm. get to your goal? Yep. And that's where it was kind of for me of like, I had to get over that tipping point of like, okay, I can live without these things for a period of time to, mm-hmm. you know, really be aggressive and fight these things off so I can enjoy that freedom.
Exactly.
But the second piece on the exposure, and this kind of leads into like the next question is, I love that we get to interact and share content, whether it's podcast, books, you know, audio stuff mm-hmm. all the time. Can you share like what content that you're exposing yourself to or your family mm-hmm. that you get into to continue to like level up? Because I think that's something that is underrated at times where, you know, people feel like they need to read a book or they need like mm-hmm. find what works for you, find things yeah. that are going to help you and that you're going to retain it. Cause you know, yeah. you can consume so much, as I mentioned before, mm-hmm. there's so many things that we can consume on a daily basis, but if it's not something that you're just going to actually apply, then, you know, you kind of, you're just listening for minutes at this point. So
right,
I'm
right.
curious to hear more about just like, what are you engaging in? What are you exposing yourself to kind of develop as an individual?
Absolutely. I think after I graduated, I got back into books. I wasn't a big reader, but we know readers are leaders. And so I had to get back into that. And so one of the first books, again, I read was Total Money Makeover while we were in our debt-free process, or getting out of debt process by Dave Ramsey. And then I read Legacy. What type of legacy do you want to live or leave for your family? And again, after my dad passed, that question was like biggest question on my mind. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want to do? So those are the first two ones. They're kind of more financial focused. Another one that sticks out was Brené Brown's Dare to Lead series.
Right.
That was huge, man. That was amazing. And so those kind of three books kind of got me off to the races. And then podcasts are probably the biggest thing that I do right now. And I have kind of different categories for them. I have like spiritual growth, like personal growth, and then like a relational growth. So my wife has always got some type of content for me to listen to chew up and digest. And so, so for our spiritual growth, the Bible Project is probably my biggest, biggest fan of the Bible Project and their series, their YouTube series. It's so helpful and informational for my spiritual growth, because I think you can't just focus on, I need more money, because now it's your idol and you're going to be chasing your tail around. And so, you know, all these things, you want to get wisdom more so than just money. And so so the personal growth and slash kind of personal finance and financial podcasts and things that I listen to, Sleep is for Suckers podcast. It's David. Oh, I'm forgetting David's last name. But yeah, Sleep is for Suckers. It goes by another name to Social Proof podcast. There it is. The Social Proof podcast. That is, they have great content. They're always bringing on different business leaders, CEOs, different spaces, education, tech, entrepreneurs, picking their brains. Same with the Dave Ramsey podcast. It was so impactful because people call there and ask Dave questions all day. And so I learned from situational analysis and experience. I'm an experiential learner. So if I can learn from Renato's experience and he's telling me, hey, I got into the trucking business, and if you're going to get into the trucking business, don't do this, make sure you do this, then, you know, I get to skip those steps a little bit. So and also Earn Your Leisure is another podcast that I'm constantly on for financial tips. Again, that's kind of some personal growth ones. And then for our marriage, our marriage growth and things like that, the Perrys, Preston Perry and Jackie Hill Perry.
Right.
Their content is amazing. Even the Love Hour. I think they just stopped the Love Hour. Kev on stage and Miss Kev on stage. They're hilarious, and they always kind of keep it light and keep good marital conversations going. Belief in Fatherhood. That's another person who has really revolutionized the the family space, black man, black father family space. So him and his wife, their podcast, again, these are real couples that are going through stuff. And I feel like when they go through something, me and Sharon have to go through it. We take sides during the podcast. I'm like, wait a minute, are we really arguing right now? This is their issue. This isn't ours.
Right.
And Gottman, Gottman's relationship stuff is like Socrates. Gottman is the GOAT on any and all things relationship focused. And so we are usually going between something like that, or always just throwing something at each other. Hey, what'd you listen to today? And we're not perfect. We can always still step it up, but those are just some of the household names that you'll probably be familiar with that we consume on a day-to-day basis.
That's what's up, man. Dope podcast. Some of the things I haven't heard of before, but any of those will serve you well. As we start landing the plane, one of my favorite segments, and hopefully you can do well better than Nehemiah. I got him again. I mentioned it last time. Lightning round is quick.
Lightning round. Let's go.
FYI, right? So the lightning round are random questions. Your first thing that comes to your mind, that's the answer. So we're going to speed through and then we'll close it out. So are you ready for the lightning round, sir?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Jimmy G or Trey Lance?
Trey, what are we talking about? Get out of here.
All right, that's an easy one. Sorry, yeah. Just have to get that one out of the way. All right, Next one, artist or song that is currently on repeat.
Ooh, my gym playlist, Toby Nwigwe. I get that 5-5. I can squat 400 pounds.
Shout out to Toby. Next one, something that most people wouldn't know about you.
I don't like cheese.
I did not know that.
I'm the weirdo. I get it. But I still eat pizza. I'm kind of weird. But yeah.
And you worked at the cheese. Yeah,
but... And I worked at the Cheesecake Factory. Anyways.
Next question. All right. Take it however you want. Fill in the blank. Uh-huh. Will Smith is?
In trouble.
That he is. Or to some.
Being
to some
drug over is. The coals.
Next one. Most used emoji icon.
Ooh, it's probably a laughing face. It's the laughing. Laugh with the little tears. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Next one. Who is your doppelganger?
So I just went to have dinner with this person the other night, and we get this question every time. Are you guys brothers? Are you guys? It's Chris Perry. Chris.
Shout out to Peasy.
Me and Chris show up. They be, are you? I'm like, no, we're not related. We're not. No. So even my mama said it. So I got to give
that's
it to
a
Chris.
Good one. Shout out to Chris. All right. Next one. Person who inspires you the most.
Can I say you right now? Can we just be real? Sure. Look where we are right now. I'm on the Lead Up podcast.
Let's go.
My daughter saw me getting ready. She's like, where are you going? I was like, oh, I'm going to be on a podcast. No big deal. But we talked about this, Nato. We talked about this. Again, it's the people who are, again, being consistent that we know and be like, no, like this person is consistent. This person is working. And you outworking a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Like we get to see, again, if you just go to the gym one day and come back, you don't see it. You don't see it after.
Yeah, right.
You know, but I see the work. It's like, I'm like, no, I see the work. I see what you're doing. I see it. It's driving me. So honest to goodness, like I said, you, Bulaya, a couple other of our folks that are close, it's like I'm gleaning from you guys, I promise you. And so this is just another reason of like, again, I had to get ready. You're forcing me to get ready. You're forcing me to, I'm like, oh, see, like this is what friends do. He's making me sharp and I gotta be on top of it. So
I think that
verse is very important. You know, we sharpening each other, man. So thank you. I'm saying Nato.
I appreciate that. I didn't pay him for that. Just saying he didn't.
Brought to you by Lead Up Podcast.
Brought to you by Lead Up Podcast. If you want to support the podcast, feel free to go Anchor or Spotify, donate today. All right. A couple more. Worst nickname given to you?
It's the best and the worst one at the same time because it's not going away. And it's from my mama.
Mm.
And any family knows M-O-O-K, Mook.
Mook.
All of my family call me Mook. I'm like, y'all, just call me B, call me Cheat, call me whatever. But whenever they trying to poke a little fun, they be like, oh, Mook, Mookie. So
give me the 30-second version. What's the story behind Mook? I'm curious now.
You know how black people make nicknames, Nato. There's no reason, no rhyme, no rationale. My sister's nickname was Muffy, and my nickname was Mook. You got to ask my mama. You got to have her on and say, hey.
I'll have to get her on here and get the origin story.
But yeah,
Mook. Oh, man. Mook. Got it. Next one. If your life was a mixtape, what would it be called?
Ooh. Cheating or trying.
Next one. Biggest lesson you learned in 2021.
Just in this year, having a baby ain't easy, even if you're a parent. It's a six month baby girl. Mm-hmm. She's kicking our tails every now and then. And shout out to everybody ain't getting no sleep.
Right.
Team no sleep. You know, that's the biggest lesson is actually, I take that back. Along with that, we've been getting her on this new schedule. You know, these new babies go to sleep like at 7. We're supposed to go to sleep all night. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know. And so we had a lot of coaching and friends saying, hey, no, put them down 7:30. They should be bed. I'm like, how's they ain't gonna sleep that long? It's working. She slept all night from 7:30 to 5 a.m. 7:30 p.m. to 5 a.m. So biggest lesson I learned is put these babies to sleep earlier. Have a night.
There you go. All right. And as always, to end the podcast, finish the statement, every leader needs
a mentor.
I love that. I think you're the first person to say that.
Every leader needs to have somebody to glean on, somebody to hold them accountable. Because if you just alone at the top, there's only one way to go from there, man. And somebody to keep you humble, to tell you, and hopefully, like going back to Will Smith, I'm sure he has somebody, Denzel, you know, might have been his, somebody to kind of pull you to the corner and say, hey, man. And for the married folks, if you got that spouse, you know, you kind of got a built in somebody to kind of help you out. But yeah, every leader still needs a mentor, man, for sure.
That's powerful. Man, thank you so much, Brandon, for being on the Lead Up podcast. Appreciate your friendship and everything that you've given to me over this last couple of years. So just thank you for spending some time and sharing with the folks. So thank you all for tuning in. This was another Lead Up podcast, episode 36. We got amazing, amazing guests in the next few weeks. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
Yes, sir.